This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 19 من شهر صفر 1445 الموافق ل 5 من شهر مر 2023، وصلوا درسنا في المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات، ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So we continue inshallah from where we stopped last week. And I believe we talk about the hadith of Abi Dharr. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم told Abu Dharr, he said, don't you ever belittle a right deed, no matter how much small you see it, because it has value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it could possibly be the one that will save you on the day of judgment. And I guess we mentioned an example for this last week. And the same goes to the sins also. Don't you ever belittle a sin. No matter how much it seems small it seems to be in your eyes, don't you ever belittle it, because it is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He doesn't like it, and a person doesn't know that sin might be the reason why he will get into trouble when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So a person shouldn't belittle what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and he should not belittle, you know, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him he shouldn't come across. So he should take the matter very seriously. What he says he doesn't like, stay away from it. What he likes, just do it. Small, big, you know, no matter how much you see, just understand that Allah says He doesn't want. It's as simple as this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are ma'ruf, you know, even if, you know, it's just like seeing and meeting your brother in a state of happiness, making him happy, smiling. The next is a new chapter. يقول الإمام النووي رحمه الله باب استحباب بيان الكلام وإيضاحه للمخاطب وتكريره ليفهم إذا لم يفهم إلا بذلك. This is a chapter that will talk about the emphasis on of the Sharia on the recommendation for a person when he speaks to speak very clearly in the way people will understand. When you speak in the way people will understand. And you repeat it also if you realize that the one you're speaking to doesn't get what you're talking about. Yeah, that's bayan. So when you are talking, you talk in the way people will understand you. And also, when you realize that people are not understanding, repeat it many times until they get it. This is the manhaj of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-manhaj al-nabawi. Yeah. He repeats things sometimes so that people will understand properly. Yeah. Because why do you speak to him? You want him to understand what you're saying. And if you want him to carry a task, let him understand his job. That's why if you go to the lawyers, you know, those rules, SubhanAllah, they explain them, you know, every single word they tell you what they mean. To avoid making mistakes and excuses in the future. Yeah, because it's very easy for a person to tell you that this is my understanding. And then you tell him, no, I did not mean that. So why didn't you explain to him what you meant at the first place? To avoid making mistakes, you know. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he speaks to people, he'd speak in a way you will understand what he is talking about. That's why they say, kana kalamuhu faslan. Fasla means step by step, you know, stage by stage. Doesn't bring kalam very quickly, you know. Yeah, there are some people, this is their nature. When they speak, it's Allah, you have to tell them, slow down, so that we can get you. We used to have a teacher who taught us fara'id. Subhanallah, very good teacher in Medina from Mauritania. And he has the knowledge, very big knowledge, very expert in his field. But when he speaks, subhanAllah, like a rocket. And it is part of him. So we used to tell him, please slow down. He will slow down just for a few seconds. And then after that, he forgot. He keep rushing. So that's his nature. But these are a few among all the people that you study with. And you meet, these are a few. These ones, you don't blame them because it's naturally who they are. Good idea. But the other type of people, they should try to make sure that they follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever they speak, to speak very slowly to the people so that people will understand what they are trying to say. And if you realize that people don't get you, repeat it. Repetition of things help the memory to remember. Well, the person who taught us Nahu, you know, that was his method. When he mentioned Faqara, he would keep repeating it, as if he doesn't want to pass. But subhanAllah, he helped us a lot in the class. You'll be able to memorize, you know, his lecture before you go. You know, technically you can say, the lecture of this person, you don't need that much, you know, of revision. Because he repeats it in the class many times. Go and come back, go and come. So it helps the student to remember what the teacher is talking about. So this is manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in speaking to others. قال عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا تكلم بكلمة أعادها ثلاثا حتى تفهم عنه وإذا أتى على قوم you reach a house and say salam to them. Assalamu alaikum. Nobody is responding. Again. Assalamu alaikum. Nobody is responding. Assalamu alaikum. Nobody is responding. Then you just leave. Yeah, then pressure. Now, sometimes, can we apply this on the phone also? When you call three times and the man is not replying? Yes. Actually, sometimes it's very annoying to that person. Because sometimes they cannot pick up the call. And you cry. And you call again. You call again. You call again. Especially when a person is praying and he forgot, unfortunately, to switch off his phone. And Fadilati Sheikh is calling. He call again. He call again. That man is going to get annoyed. And he deserves to get annoyed, especially if the time is the prayer time. Because you should anticipate that he might be in a prayer. You might finish your prayer because your masjid prayed a bit early. But his masjid may be praying late. Or he just reached the masjid, you know, after the end of the prayer and he is doing his. So the point is when you call a person and that person tells, did not respond. You call again, he did not respond. Just leave. That's it. Then keep calling. And sometimes, subhanAllah, some people, as if they're coming from village. I think even the village people don't do that. You might be in a very critical moment that you cannot pick up a call. Or nowadays, like our time, you are recording a lecture using your phone. Somebody call, you distract. So what do? You decline. You call again. You decline. You call again. You decline. And then at the end of the day, when you pick up the call, you know, stop everything and pick up the call. Tell the, I just want to say salam to you. And he trapped you because salam is good in Islam. He cannot fight him. So that you just swallow and tell him, okay, thank you very much. You know. But subhanAllah, these people are going to close the door. You know, sometimes you need to know that, yes, the matter is serious for you to receive their call. When a person declined the call, just give him excuse that he's in a situation that he cannot receive. Don't call again. Just wait first. Send him a message. You know, tell him that I need you for this and that. They keep calling until the time he pick up the call and that he is supposed to receive something that is emergency from you. In a way, he will apologize and tell you that I am in a meeting which is very critical that I couldn't pick up your call, but I will attend to your issue. So these are matters which, subhanAllah, and the more civilized we are, the more far we're going away from them. You know. Who is that person that goes to the house and say salam three times? Okay, Balaj house they might do, you know. But in your office, in your room, you know, people come and say salam, you know, before they enter. And after they say salam, they ask you permission first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he say, فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهَا حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ. For the permission. Because you might tell me, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ. But is it necessary that you permit me to come in? No. Because replying salam is wajib or mustahab? Wajib. So when you say salam to me, I say salam to you, you might reply because you know it is wajib. But you are not ready to receive somebody. That's why it is necessary for him to ask permission first. You know, subhanAllah, some of us get annoyed. I witness people who get annoyed. Why do you need to take permission? Just come in. I already said wa alaykum as-salam. Allah says, take permission. And what if this person comes in a time which is wrong time? Finds you not ready to receive somebody. You are not dressed properly. He will not forget that image that he saw. And you will also not never forget that. Whenever you remember, you see him, you remember that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِسْتِئِذَانُ مِنْ أَجْلِ الْبَصَرِ. He says the idhn and the istidhan, seeking permission before entering the room of others, is made by the Sharia mandatory because of the eyes. Yeah, it's very dangerous what the eyes can see sometimes, you know. It's really not good for it to see. Not good for the person who is seen, and not good for the person who is being seen. And even if this person is a family member, except husband and wife. Even those one, if he travels, it's good for him to let his family know that he is coming. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't you ever come home, you know, and just get inside the house without letting your wife that you're on the way. She should know. Yeah, because since you are absent, she relax in the house and stay in the way she is. Tell me, which husband doesn't like to see his wife in the good condition? I don't know, you know, now everything's possible, but usually this is not how human beings are. You want to see her in a good condition. So you cannot just come to the house and attack the house like that. You're going to regret, you will last. Because sometimes you might see her in a condition and she doesn't have any problem. You are the problem. Yeah, because you're not there. She cannot just keep beautifying herself even if you're not around throughout her life in the house. No, there are times when she remains at ease, washing the kids, dealing with the kitchen matters. She cannot go with any clothes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, send a message first to inform them that you are coming so that you will not see that which will cause you to dislike your family. To get an idea. So, and if you're in the house, you're in the room, yeah, it's good to say salam to anyone you meet, including your wife. But I'm just talking about the issue of the basar that is, you know, made as an exemption between the husband and the wife. Other than that, no. Your parents are in the room. You cannot go inside the room without saying salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ. Even the kids who did not reach the age of maturity, Allah says, ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ, right? مِنْ قَبْلِ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ وَمِنْ بَعَدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ. Before Fajr prayer, kids before the age of maturity, Allah says before Fajr, they have to ask for the permission. وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ. And the time when you take a nap, dhuhr time. وَمِنْ بَعَدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ. And after Isha time. Because these are the times where people usually take off their clothes to rest. Even those tiny, tiny ones also, Sharia says they should take permission. As for the big ones, Allah says, وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالِ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُومَ فَلِيَسْتَأْذِنُوا كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. But if the kids reach the age of maturity, they should also take permission just like the way your predecessors, the people that came before you, they used to take permission. Yeah, because these are adab. Usually when it comes to adab, the Sharia is the same. It's adab. Man is a man is, you know, how to deal with human beings. The Sharia is the same. You might find some of the Sharia rituals being changed from a Sharia to another Sharia, but when it comes to adab, you need the same thing. So they have the same thing and we also have the same as they have. So please support this and promote it. Yeah, support this and promote it. Yeah, when you reach a place, say salam to them. If they're not here, say again, three times. If they're not responding, just leave. Because most likely they heard you and they're saying the reply in a very slow manner. Why? Because they don't want to get sin of not replying, and at the same time they don't want to entertain you at this moment. You shouldn't pressure them. You just leave the place, and it happens between one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Umar radiallahu anhu. He came to the house of Umar. And he said salam three times. Umar did not respond the salam. He left. Umar responded and went out to meet him. You know, so he couldn't find him. He found him already left. So Umar got annoyed. Why did you bring me out and then you left? So he called him. He said, are you the one who is calling me? He said, yes. He said, but why do you call me and left the place? He said, yes, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you come to the place and you ask permission for three times, and the third time was not being responded by the owner of the place, leave the place. Umar said, who told you? Who told you this? He said, Rasulullah. Umar said, you have to go and bring somebody to confirm this. Otherwise, I'm going to beat you. Yeah. So the criticism, trying to make sure that nobody lies against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, started from the time of the companions, right? Yeah. That was just a confirmation. He knows, he doesn't have an issue, but the scholar said, he just wants the ummah to be sensitive when it comes to qala Rasulullah. Qala Allah, qala Rasulullah. Nobody should just come and say, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have to be very sure that he said it. Yeah, because this is very dangerous. You know that if somebody says, qala Allah, and Allah did not say, you know, this iftiyatun Allah, very big issue, wa antaqulu ala Allahi ma la ta'alamun, but in terms of danger, saying qala Rasulullah, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that, is more dangerous. Because if you said qala Allah, and Allah did not say that, is it possible for us to detect that mistake? Yes, very possible, because Quran is this one, right? From A to Z, many people memorize it completely. Bring one person on earth who memorized the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from A to Z. Never come across somebody like this. Never heard of somebody like this. Wallahi, we witnessed some of our scholars. You might say, these people, maybe they don't miss anything in the hadith of the Prophet. You know, you might be looking for an issue. You know, I remember one of our friends, he was given a title to go do research on. He reached a state of despair that nobody talk about this. He tried his best, he goes to the library, any possible place that he can check and get this one, he couldn't. So he made a conclusion that this issue doesn't exist. I'm going to make his report that this doesn't exist. Asking the sheikh to give him another topic. So subhanAllah, he was with one of our scholars in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I was just sitting down. To my surprise, this person, you know, the sheikh started talking about this matter. I was like, what? You know? And he was bringing opinions of the scholars concerning the matters. It's a big issue, actually. Ikhtilafat, well, evidence, well, ma'ila dhalik. He said, I was surprised. What kind of knowledge is this? I have been spending my life looking for a possible place that I can find it. I couldn't. But subhanAllah, these type of people, and from time to time, you'll be sitting next to them, looking at yourself like a little baby, you know, who doesn't know anything. But then they will be asked about one hadith. They will tell, we don't know. And then you see that, oh, I know this. How come? You make a history, right? There was a time the sheikh doesn't know a hadith. And, you know, yeah, maybe out of, you know, only maybe 1% of the hadith, out of 1 million hadith, if he has that one, you know, maybe yours is only one in comparison to his. But that's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's so big and so vast. Nobody can say that he, you know, encompasses the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows everything. This person doesn't exist. Nobody can say that I memorized every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if a person is to lie, the reason why I'm saying this one is more dangerous, because if somebody comes and say, qala Rasulullah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say it, how do we know? Do you get an idea? How do we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say it? It's not easy. You Allah, it's not easy to detect. That's why it's more dangerous than somebody who comes and say, qala Allah. That's why the Orientalists and the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is their main target? The Sunnah or the Quran? The Sunnah. They don't go for the Quran, they go for the Sunnah. Because they know that as long as Sunnah exists, they cannot do anything. And you Allah, Sunnah is harisa li kitabillah. It's like a gird Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it stands on the way of the criminals up to date. The target and the attack is all on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this al-jarh wa ta'dil, I mean, making sure that the hadith is given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started from the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is very serious matter to make sure that nobody is lying against Rasulullah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قال علي ما لم أقول فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever said something and attributed that thing to me which I did not say, he should look for his place in hell. The scholar said this is like informing that person that by lying against Rasulullah, you know, you already choose a place in hell. وَلِيَّذِ بِاللَّهِ. That's why you must make sure that when you say قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ, you must make sure that you're sure that the Prophet ﷺ said it. That's the reason why the scholar said weak narrations should be avoided. You discuss them in the classrooms, but you don't come to the layman and talk about the weak narrations, because we have enough in the authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar.
The question says, Sheikh, how do we express disapproval if we don't wish to be disturbed by someone?
Disapproval.
how do we express our disapproval if we don't want to be disturbed by someone?
Disapproval?
Like, how do we make them know that we don't want them to disturb? What's the best way to do that?
In anything.
In anything.
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. Okay, there's a question about how do we express our disapproval to somebody, right, without hurting their feelings. I don't know how to answer this, but I think every case has its own nature. But generally, when somebody wants your attention and you cannot attend to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Tell him some good words. Honestly speaking, I would like to be with you. And I would love to sit with you. You are so and so and so. If you wish, you can add that. And you tell them, but unfortunately, I have this and that, and they really need my attention. So if you don't mind, please, let us meet on so and so and so time. You get the idea? It's very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you know that you cannot attain to their need, tell them good words. Yeah, it's more than enough. And subhanAllah, people appreciate it. Yeah, and they talk about that. At least he told me something good. Tell them, I would love to attend to your need and I would love to give you attention, but unfortunately I have this and that, and these are things that I cannot avoid. So please do accept my apology. You know, apologize to him. Please do accept my apology. Let us meet on another time. That's the meaning of saying to them good words, rather than telling them in the harsh way that they cannot, you cannot entertain them at this moment. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us tawfiq and good and be with all of us in this dunya and grant us success in the akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.